The time at 4 minutes past nine.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lycoparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the report again this morning, and Paul Ramo in his usual position at the control panel. Start things off talking girls basketball with Dylan Erickson. Dylan, I think you had two games this past week and then one this afternoon. We'll highlight that one this afternoon after talking about the first two games this week. Go ahead.
Awesome. So, yeah, appreciate you having me again this morning. I think we're out at the school now, just going to get started on our walkthrough, and we'll shoot around here before we head to Prinsburg to play a state-ranked team. But I think I blew all the way here. It's chilly, but we're going to get a basketball game in at this point of the year. We just kind of have to get them in, too, no matter how good or bad it is or cold or not.
Sure.
But, yeah, we welcome Lakeview here on Monday night. You know, a really good basketball team. Start five seniors. Got a couple young ones off the bench. They play about 9, 10, 11 girls at times, so they have a lot of depth, too. And probably in the driver's seat right now to win the south half of the conference, or that's what it's looking like. Things can change, obviously, but they're a really solid team and going to be a 1, 2, 3 seed in the section. So we knew we'd have our hands full with them, but I like our matchup with them. You know, they have some presence inside that Callie matches up pretty nice with, and our guards match up pretty well. They just have Brynn Sendrew, a senior guard, that can kind of take over a game if she needs to and been through the ringer a little bit. And obviously we're the complete opposite with 8th, 9th, 10th graders playing for us a lot in the guard position too. And so just a unique matchup, but I liked where we're at. We're starting to maybe turn the corner a little bit and playing a little more physical and a little more consistent at times. So hoping to, you know, lead that into a game on a Monday, which are never easy anyways, coming off the weekend. But no, we battled in that first half. They jumped out like they probably should. They jumped out to 11-0 lead and called timeout and dig ourselves that hole right away. But after we were down 11-0, we went on a little bit of a run ourselves, got ourselves back in the game 11-6, and then it went back and forth, and it kind of stayed at that 8-10 point range that entire first half. So if we take that first minute and a half away from the game, they go into halftime up 36-26. So again, we played right with them the rest of the entirety of that first half. It's just that hole we got ourselves into right away. And then the second half, we come out kind of played even the rest of the way. Honestly, it was like every few minutes they would basically, if you look at the box score, they scored 36 in the first half and 36 in the second half. We scored 26 in the first half and scored 26 in the second half. Mm-hmm. So again, just really played right, I think, for 75% of that game, other than the first start and different times throughout the game where, you know, they're running in their 8th, 9th, 10th girl and we're running in our 6th girl maybe, and our legs kind of hit us at times. But we played right with them for the majority of the game, maybe the most complete game other than that first few minutes that we've played this year. I know it's a 20-point loss, you look at it, but I bet everybody who was in the gym that night can honestly say that it felt like it was a 5-point game the majority of the way. Just the atmosphere, teams were going on runs back and forth. It was really good basketball game, even for the score being 72-52. We ended up dropping that one, but I was just really happy. You know, there's no such thing as really moral victories for us, but again, just to see us play more of a complete game and battle with somebody who's a really good team and was physical, but that's where we've gotten better, is we've matched physicality or even brought more at times. So like 75% of that game, I think we all played them. Again, they just had a little more depth and a little more scoring punch. You know, their runs were a little bit bigger than ours were to get back in it. And but otherwise, it was a very fun game. I was happy with the effort, and I think the girls could feel that too a little bit, that, you know, it was fun being in a game like that where, yeah, we were down the entire game, but it never felt like we were really out of it or we were just getting completely blown out either. So it was a really fun one to be a part of.
Stats on
for that. Stats on the night, Callie Connell's huge inside for us, going 11-15 from 2 and scoring 25 points and 11 rebounds to go with that. Again,
wow.
They have a nice size inside too, and they battled back and forth, and I thought Callie did a really good job and held her own. And, you know, that's the reason we scored 52 points. She had half of them. And Aiden Bond had 10 points, 4 rebounds, a couple assists. Brooklyn Olson had 3 points and 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Casey Tweed had 4 points and 2 rebounds, assists, a couple steals. Ashton Shelstead had a couple three balls for us and had 6 points and three rebounds and a couple assists, a couple steals. Brinley Brewston knocked down her first three ball of the year for us as she's getting, so she played about 20 minutes that night, and Thursday played about 30, so we're playing her a little bit more as long as she can handle it. She had 4 points and a few rebounds and a couple assists as well for us. So, again, nice effort out of us. You know, you don't want to lose and think it's a win, but just for us to play consistently throughout the game, I was really happy with. And then we kind of run out of gas too in the B squad game, and they have a nice B squad as well too with some girls that share halves and stuff like that too. But ended up dropping that one.
Okay, so second game this week.
Then we made the long trek down to Tracy to play a TMB team that I thought, you know, we matched up pretty well with. You know, they have they have 5 wins now on the year, so a team that we could be very competitive with, I thought, going into it. And you know, in a gym down there, they like to shrink the court a little bit and put a lot of pressure on you, and it's physical down there. And but the way we've been playing, I thought we could handle that pretty well. But we did, for the most part. They jumped out to a little bit of a lead, and we battled back. Again, just that full court press on Thursday kind of in costly times got the best of us at times. So having, you know, over 30 turnovers against a team that, you know, we just had some sloppy ones, just throwing the ball out of bounds and just not making the right reason decisions, kind of reverted back to some of our old ways a little bit from what we were doing the last from Monday night anyways. So we ended up going into half down 5, 26-21. Again, Callie Kahn got in foul trouble with us a little bit. She had 2 fouls before the 17 minute mark in the first half, and then got her third and then got a fourth early in the second half. So she sat for, I bet it was at least 12 minutes in the second half. And they grew their lead out in the second half what did they get to? 9, I think, when I had her at the scores table. You know, I was trying to ride that out as long as possible to get her back in. But we even went out with 5 guards, and a couple of them being, you know, 8th-grader freshmen, a couple sophomores. And we had Eva Traeger back, which was nice to get another body back and get her back into some rhythm and some timing, too. She was a nice little spark for us off the bench for us Thursday as well. But they grew that lead out, and then we battled back, and we ended up taking the lead with about a minute and a half to go, 39 to 37. And we had a couple opportunities to score the basketball or just make the right decision when you have the lead and what the time was and what they were going to need to do. But again, that just, we haven't been in a lot of games like that or situations, and got a lot of young kids that it's hard to win and hard to learn how to win. So doing that, we need to be in games like this. And so we made a couple costly mistakes down the stretch that, you know, gave them more chances with the basketball, and we didn't execute a couple of shots we had that, you know, a couple of easy ones. If we get them to go to, we get up to 4, get up 4, that changes the game a ton. But we turned the ball over a couple times, missed a couple shots, and they came down and scored and tied it up. We missed a couple rebounds when we had chances too. We still had the lead, and the ball just kind of got away from us, and we kind of maybe panicked a little bit. And then we turned it over with a chance with the game tied, and they ran out for a leak out. We fouled them and won. They were up 3, and then you have to play the foul game. So we ended up dropping that one in a tough fashion to TMB. They won 44-39. But okay. Good battle. It's good for us to be in that game, that kind of game, and get experience that way.
Stats on the game?
Aiden Bondless in scoring with 15 points, 4 rebounds, a couple assists, and a steal. Brooklyn had 8 points, and Callie had 3 points and 15 rebounds. Eva Traeger, her first action back, had 6 points for us. Good on the defensive end for us as well. Casey Tweed had 3 points. Ashton Shelstead had a bucket or a free throw and 7 rebounds. And Brinley Brewston had 5 points for us, a couple rebounds, a couple assists. Again, getting her a few more minutes too, as long as she can handle it. And she's a nice presence on the court for us with her speed and athletic ability.
Okay, B squad.
And B squad as well. It was, again, good first half, good tight first half, and then as the second half waned on a little bit, they grew their lead. I think it ended up being like an 8-10-point game at the end. But good effort on those guys as well. A lot of girls getting a lot of experience down there.
Okay. And then today on the road,
yep,
this afternoon.
Yeah, today we travel. B squad starts at noon, and the varsity will follow shortly after at about 1:30. Roughly, and yeah, we're going to blow all the way down there, and we're going to give them the best effort we can. I know they're a top 5 state ranked team in the state, and they've had this group together now for a number of years, and this is kind of a year that they've been waiting for, I think. And yeah, they're really, really good. There's no sugarcoating it at all, and They're going to give us our best effort. So if we're going to have to buckle up and be able to handle their pressure and execute at the offensive end and give them a run and see what can happen.
Okay, and that's at Prinsburg?
That'll be in Prinsburg, yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning, and best of luck there. And we'll find out about that game and the games coming up this up-and-coming week next Saturday morning.
Yep, another busy week for us starting today.
Okay. That's
thanks.
Dylan Erickson on girls basketball. After the break, we'll be talking to Joel Voorhees with the boys part of basketball.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
You want to shop the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson. Why? Well, Kip has some great specials in January. Fresh beef cuts, 10% off. Pork, beef, and variety bundles, 10% off. Or pre-order ground chuck, $6.50 a pound. The Country Butcher in Dawson, they're open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Mondays. January specials at the Country Butcher is perfect for filling the freezer this month and warming up winter meals. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more, awards, and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. Join me Tuesday night from the Eagle's Nest as Lockaparro Valley girls host Renville County West in a Camden Conference matchup. 7:30 tip-off. That's Lockaparro Valley and Renville County West in girls basketball Tuesday night right here on Q92. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lockaparro Valley Boys Basketball with head coach Joel Voorhees. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Paul.
I was pretty bummed last night. We had to postpone the game over in Lakeview.
Yeah, weather conditions came up and Lakeview got out of school, and it's just one of those things that the weather kind of took control.
Yep, that happens every once in a while, doesn't it, during the course of a season. Do you know when you're going to make that up yet or not?
We're in contact. Me and Zach Stelter are getting in contact with Jared Caveney down there and seeing what fits for our schedules to pick up this game.
All right. All right. So let's talk about games this week. You picked up a win, Joel.
Yeah, we got a win on Tuesday night against Camby.
All right.
First victory of the season for the guys, so they're pumped up. It's something that they wanted to chase going into last night, but just wasn't the timing. So hopefully we can carry it into next week start competing in these games, getting some wins in the columns.
All right, so Camby came to Lockaparro Valley. Why don't you tell us about the game and the stats?
Okay, at half it was 36-38, and we were down by a basket, and we just weren't playing our best defensive style. We're contesting shots as well as I thought we could have, but the turnovers, we had to clean those up for the second half. And fortunately, we did it in the end, and we got 41 in the second half compared to their 30, finishing in a 77-68 victory for the Eagles. And just some team stats on the night, we were 22, Camby's 13 out of 33 from the field goal. From three-point, we were 4 out of 14 compared to their 11 out of 28, so they showed they can shoot that three ball. They had two guys, Peterson and Kack, that were 9 out of their 11 three-pointers. So It was hard to contain with them. Free throws, that's where we got our edge. We were 21 out of 27.
Wow.
Compared to their 9 out of 14. Yeah, we got to the line in the end and made some really big free throws. Freshman Griffin Cran stepped up and showed ice in the veins, finishing with, what did he have, 9 out of 12 free throws for the night.
Okay. Yo, wow, 21 points off from the free throw line. That's pretty good.
Yep, and it was pretty balanced scoring. We had Nolan Smith leading the way for us with 17 points, and then followed by Griffin Kranz with 16, Gavin Tastel with 14, Grant Bierke with 10, and Tanner Tilbury with 12. So that was our five in the double figures right there. And then we had a couple that had a couple baskets on the night with Thomas Emmis, 2, Caden Stender with 2, Elias Alonzo with 2, and Aaron Bond with a basket.
Okay, great. Oh, good win. I bet you celebrated in the locker room, huh?
Yes, yep. And I want to thank Mr. Newman for stepping in, and he did the same thing as when I first got my job out at Lacaparo. He wanted to see my right hand.
He wanted to what?
So he could shake it.
Oh.
He wanted to see my right hand so he could shake it.
Oh, Dick went in the locker room, huh?
Yep, after our first victory.
Awesome.
Along with Griffin Kranz's 9 for 12 free throws, we had Grant Bierke going perfect from the line, 5 for 5, Tanner Tilbury 4 for 6, and Nolan Smith 3 for 4. So overall, it was good to see us step up to the line and knock down those easy points.
Good.
Leading for the rebounds on the night, we had 46 compared to Canby's 24. Assists, we had 12 to their 17. Steals, we had 12 to their 15. Turnovers, unfortunately, we won that column again with 26 compared to their 22. We did have 8 blocks on the night compared to their 4. So Tanner Tilbury had 4 of those blocks, and Nolan Smith and Gavin Tastel both had 2 apiece. And we had 1 charge taken by Griffin Cran, so he's shown that he's willing to put his body on the line, because this isn't the first one that he's picked up now.
Yeah.
So it's good
tough,
to see
tough
that.
Kid.
Yep.
What were you pleased with during the game there? What stood out to you, Joel?
I was pleased that we didn't stop playing the game. Our competitive nature came out, and we stopped stuff that they were succeeding on. We held off on their full court press. We were able to break that and get into some easy stuff. Griffin Kranz was nice to see him attacking and picking up some of those fouls and knocking down some free throws at the line. Aaron Baum, he made his first varsity appearance, and within seconds picked up a steal right away, got an assist, got a basket on the night. So he's showing that his IQ and his work ethic is going to get him some minutes. So that was good to see. We kind of went away from a little bit of our starting lineup in our second half, and we used a little bit different personnel. And it was good to see those guys being able to step up.
Good, good. Well, good win. Something to build on, right, Joel?
Yep, that's right. It was good for the guys to feel that and know what it is to step into a game and control the game at the end.
Good. Good. How'd JV do that night then?
JV and C squad both picked up victories. B squad even got to running time on Canby, so they really put it on them.
All right.
C squad, they tailed right away at the beginning, and then Coach Voigt got them on track and ended up winning by a considerable amount.
Okay. Sweet.
So they're both, on the season, C squad is now 8-2, B squad is 9-5, and varsity got their first win, so we're 1-13.
All right. What do you got coming up this week then, Joel?
We travel to KMS on Monday.
Okay.
Try to get some redemption against the Saints. They put it to us on our home court earlier this year, so we want to see if we can make it one of those games again.
Okay, that's Monday, you said?
Monday night,
okay.
Yep.
There's
and
no
then
school.
We have a home.
There's no school Monday, right?
Nope, there's okay. No school on Monday.
All right.
Well, we kind of talked about that in practice, trying to make it as normal of a day as possible. So Thursday, Tracy Milroy comes to Lacaparo.
Okay.
So we got a home game.
Yep. So two games next week.
Two games, and then we go to Coleman Egan, South Dakota, and play Oldham Ramana Rutland High.
Oh,
so
wow.
We get to play a South Dakota team out there.
That's next Saturday?
Yep.
Oh, good.
So the guys get to take a coach bus down there. The girls are doing the same thing. Play a team you'll never get to play again, probably ever. So okay. It's just a fun atmosphere and get to ride that fun coach bus, watch a basketball movie, maybe get to Buffalo Wild Wings afterwards.
There you go. I'll jump on the bus with you. Is it a boy, girls?
What's that?
Did you say the girls too?
Yep, the girls travel the same place.
Oh,
they
wow.
just play before us.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck this week, and we'll talk all about it next Saturday then.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me again, Paul.
You bet. Joel Voorhees, head coach of the Lacaparo Valley Boys basketball team. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
I'm with Monica Boffin here in Dawson on Chestnut Street. What's up, Monica?
Well, Paul Ramo, Valentine's Day is fast approaching, and I'm full with every gift idea you can get for your special someone. For every gift certificate bought, you enter in a drawing to win a free $100 gift certificate. A lot of great winter fashions available, and Monica has a huge vacation room full of color, dresses, capris, shorts, sandals, skirts, and more. Great jewelry has also arrived. Like me on Facebook. My hours are Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. I'm located at 931 Chestnut Street in Awesome Dawson.
Today, there will be a come-and-go baby shower for Caroline and Keaton Haas from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Crossroads Lutheran Church in Dawson for their baby boy due in February. They're registered at babylist.com. There will be a benefit brunch from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 18th at the Madison VFW for Shelley Larson and her family to raise funds to help offset some of the very significant costs of her health challenges this past year. The event is sponsored by Garfield Lutheran and Crossroads Lutheran Churches. Free will donations will be taken. If you're unable to attend but you'd like to donate, you can send your donation to Michael Croat, 2579 221st Avenue, Madison 56256. Put Larson Benefit in the memo line. It's Saturday, January 17th. We say happy birthday to Kathy Thompson, David Lackelt, Michelle Knutson, Betty Kellen, Dean Broyd, Shirley Hansen in Madison. Sunday, happy birthday to Deb Olson, Lonnie Lee, Andrea Munnins, Jeff Klebicek, Savannah Ernst, and Danielle Bramer-Lilja. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison showing Friday, January 16th through Monday, January 19th in Theater One. It's the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, In Search of SquarePants, rated PG. That's SpongeBob SquarePants in Theater One. In Theater Number Two, it's a drama thriller. Sydney Sweeney stars in The Housemaid. That's The Housemaid in Theater Two, rated R. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Going to turn our attention now to wrestling, and had a busy week, Hank, with a couple of Trianglers, but also on Monday was the ninth grade league and good results there.
Yeah, it was a busy week, and started off on Monday when the ninth grade league went to Tracy to wrestle their ninth grade league team section tournament, and they started off as the four seed, and they started off against Canby, and they won 45-19.
Oh, wow.
And then they ran into the eventual team champion, and Mineota had lost 40-22. And then in the consolation round, they beat New Ulm 42-38. And then in the third place match, so the winner of this one would go to ninth grade league state, since the top three teams make it, against Pipestone, and they won 58-18. They kind of ran them over there to punch their ticket to the state tournament. That is on Saturday in Mora, and they will wrestle Farmington right away, 10 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, there's 24 teams that make it to state, and Team United's one of them. So best of luck to those guys. We've got Coach Coyle and Coach Boffin up there with all those 21 boys, and hopefully they have good results.
Yeah, and that's all classes together, right?
Yep, there's one class, and top three from each of the eight regions go to the state tournament, so it's a good accomplishment. We haven't been there for about 3 years, so it's nice to get back.
Yeah, that's for sure. So the future United wrestlers are doing a great job, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Okay, then let's start out on Tuesday. You had a triangular.
Yep, we went to Renville and wrestled against Quad County, and we wrestled pretty well. Colin Rosendahl started off and got a pin for us, and then Griffin Johnson got another pinfall for us. Eli Olson won by forfeit. Braden Jaden went up against one of their tougher wrestlers and ended up getting a major there, went in 10-0. Then they had a few forfeits for us. Gavin Mortensen, Holland Shocker, Ben Gunlickson, Cam Sather, and Aiden Olson all won by forfeit.
Wow.
And then Bentley Boffin won by a pinfall in a minute 14. Then Josh Kranz won by a forfeit. And then Brian Rohde went up against one of their state-ranked kids and ended up losing. It was a back-and-forth match, but then he ended up getting pinned. And then at heavyweight, Gabe Lowry won by a pinfall in 44 seconds, making the final score Team United 70, Quad County 6.
Okay.
And then we had Tracy Miller-Ballison, Westbrook Walnut Grove. They're ranked in the lean and mean, so we knew they were going to be a good one going into it. Matthew Boffin started us off with a pin in a minute, 8 seconds. And then Griffin Johnson kept it going and got a pinfall. Eli Olson went up against a sixth-ranked state kid, Peterson from Tracy, and he ended up getting a tech fall, winning 17-0.
Oh, wow.
Then Trent Boston lost by a pinfall in the first period. Gavin Mortensen was winning the whole match, and then right at the end, the kid threw him in a headlock and ended up losing 12-8. So it was a tough loss for Gavin. Which we know when you're winning the whole match and then last second, but that's why you wrestled 6 minutes, I guess.
Right.
Then Kevin Izaguirre went out there and lost by a pinfall against highly ranked David Hsu. Then at 145, we had Holland Shocker. He won a 7-0 decision. At 152, Ben Gunlickson won by a pin in 44 seconds. And Cameron Sather got a pin in a minute 25. Bentley Boston got a pinfall in the second period. Brian Rohde won a tight match, 4-1. And then Gabe Lowry won by a pinfall in the second period. And then we forfeited heavyweight and ended up being the final score, Team United 47, TMB 21.
Okay. And Thursday, you went up to Melrose or Sauk Center, I don't know which one, and then I think originally it was supposed to be a duel, but Long Prairie Gray Eagle was there for a try then.
Yep, there was a try in Melrose. We started off against our conference opponent in Sauk Center Melrose, and Matthew Boffin won by a tech fall, winning 16-0. Griffin Johnson won by a pinfall in the second period. Eli Olson got a pinfall in a minute 8. Ivor Heinrich got his first varsity win, winning a major decision 11-2. Gavin Mortensen won by a tech fall 17-2. Holland Shocker got a pinfall in 1 minute. Ben Gunlickson got a major decision, winning 13-3. Cameron Sather won a major decision, winning 9-0. Aiden Olson had a back-and-forth match, but ended up getting pinned in the third period. Bentley Boffin lost a tight match 4-0. Then Brian Rohde got a pinfall in the second period. Josh Kranz fought real hard and ended up losing a major decision 15-2. And then Gabe Lowry won by a pinfall in the second period, making the final score Team United 52, Sauk Center Melrose 13. Then we had Long Prairie, Gray Eagle, Browerville. And we knew there was going to be a bunch of toss-up matches in there, and got to win, try to win more than you lose that. And we didn't quite win as many as we thought we could have. Griffin Johnson started off, lost the 8-2 decision, and Colin Rosendahl got pinned in the first period. Eli Olson got us on the board, getting a pin in the first period. Then Braden Jaden lost by a pinfall. Gavin Mortensen won a 12-1 major decision. Holland Shocker was going against a state-ranked kid and was winning, and then got caught on his back, so it was unfortunate there. Holland was wrestling a real good match up until that point. At 145, Ben Gunlickson got a pin in 25 seconds. At 152, Aiden Olson lost a tight one, 2-1. Then at 160, Cam Sather won by a tech ball, 19-1. Bentley Boston lost a tight one, ended up giving up a major, 12-0. Josh Kranz ended up getting pinned in the second period. Brian Rohde and Gabe Lowry both ended up getting pinned, too. Yeah, like I said, we ended up losing a lot of the toss-up matches that could go either way. There's about 5-6 of them, and we ended up on the wrong end on pretty much all of them. Ended up being the final score, 46 for Long Prairie, 21 for Team United. So the boys fought hard, but some days you just end up on the wrong side of those tight matches, and wasn't our night on Thursday night, but the boys will regroup. We'll have practice. We had practice on Friday, and then Saturday we are in Camview for our West Central Camden conference tournament.
Yeah, and that's some real good competition with Mineota, Camby, KMS, and then some of the teams from the Camden conference as well. So, yeah, that's in Camby. What time does that start?
10 o'clock, and yeah, there's 14 teams, so hopefully we got full brackets, and the boys can get a lot of matches in, and a lot of state ranked kids, so it should be a fun tournament.
Sure. Okay, then what do you have next week?
Next week's a little bit lighter, which will kind of be nice after this busy week.
Yeah,
we'll have practice all week until Friday. The varsity goes to Red Rock Central, where they have the High Water Ethanol invite there. I think there's 14 teams signed up right now, so that's it's a nice one on a Friday. It's early on Friday. Last year it starts so early Friday night, but I think they're starting closer to noon this year, so I hope help speed it along a little bit. And then that's on Friday, and then Saturday the ninth grade league has their individual section. I think that's also in Canby.
Okay.
So they'll have a chance to punch their ticket to state on the individual side. The top two kids make it to state on the individual side. So,
okay,
should be a fun week. A little bit of much needed rest and practice time in, and start looking forward to the end of this season creeping up on us.
Yeah, it is. Friday tournament.
At the individual.
Okay. Well. Anything else?
Yeah, Saturday we have our, over in Montevideo, you can go watch the youth wrestle.
Okay.
They have I believe it's called the Throwdown. So I think Team United will be there. It's an invite, so they're invited, I think, maybe 8 different teams. Then each team can put 2 wrestlers in each bracket, kind of fill it out. And it's kind of cool. Last year I was able to go there because we didn't wrestle, and for the finals, they put the lights down, put the center light in the middle, and it's a pretty neat environment for those little elementary kids. It was some awesome wrestling there, too. So if you can't make it over to Camby, head over to Monty, and you can watch some great youth cheer on the United wrestlers over there.
Yeah, that's right. I know years ago, when it was regions and not sections, Montevideo would host that, and the finals, so they put that, turn the lights off and put that light right in the center of the mat, and it was quite a deal for the kids. So
a pretty unique environment when you got the kind of the mezzanine or up on the balcony, everyone around you, they're just up above you, you're kind of down below everyone. It's a pretty neat environment.
It sure is. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck for the ninth grade league today for the team up in Mora, and next week on Friday, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks, Dick.
Yep. That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Hey, Dan, what's on your mind?
Hot deals.
In January? With these temps?
That's the fun part. Heartland Motor Company's 46th annual indoor sale is heating things up January 23rd and 24th. Cold temps outside, hot deals inside.
Sizzling sale prices, free gas grill, tent or cooler with vehicle purchase, door prizes, plus hot dogs and chili served both days starting at noon.
Friday 8 to 7, Saturday 8 to 6. Bundle up outside, kick back inside at the 46th annual indoor sale at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. And we're going to turn our attention to Lacaparral Valley Dawson Boys Shadows Dance Teams with head coach Carly Weyer. Carly's in the studio. We don't have you on every Saturday, but it's been a while since we visited with you.
It has, yes. It's good to be back.
And the Shadows have been very busy, haven't they?
They have, yes. They've been working hard.
Yeah. How's the season going so far overall?
Very well, yes. We're very happy with how they've been performing and their strength and just the routines in general. So, yes, it's going very well.
Before we start with the results the last few weeks here, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the high kick routine and what it's all about, and the jazz routines, Carly?
Yes, this year we have kind of a theme, and so it's a sweet, dreamy music at the beginning, and then
this is high kick.
Okay. Yep, and then it kind of switches into nightmare, intense music, and so they have an outfit that's a kind of like a deep plum, kind of resembles like a olden time kind of pajama set, and so yeah, it's really fun. The choreography is really fun. The girls have great facials when they perform. So if you haven't seen this yet, we encourage you to come on out because it's a fun routine.
Okay. Will you be performing any basketball games coming up or not?
No more basketball games.
Just competition.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But we did perform at the Dawson Black Apparel basketball game. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good. How about jazz?
Jazz, their uniforms are black this year. They're doing kind of like a edgy contemporary to the song Eight by Sleeping at Last. And so it has some very like motivational lyrics behind it. And so the girls are really good at putting that emotion into their dancing, which helps sell the routine. And they've got some very good difficulty. We've really leveled up from last year.
Oh,
so
good.
It's just fun to see them keep pushing themselves and working towards these goals.
All right. How did you level up from last year? You're state champs.
I know. Yes. You just keep finding different ways to push their limits, and they say, okay, let's do it.
State champions, of course, the Shadows last year, last 3 years? Or
Just last year.
In high kick and jazz, do the girls feel that there's a target on their back?
Or? Yes. Yeah. One of the things we've talked about lately is we've told them pressure is a privilege. And so it's a privilege to have the pressure that they do. They handle the pressure very well when they go out. At one of the competitions, I think it was Bold, they were one of the last ones to perform. And you just look around and all the other teams came out to watch them. Yeah. They wanted to see what we had to bring. And
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Why don't you fill us in on the competitions you've been at and how you did then?
Yes. So we started out at Ricori this year in December. We saw Holdingford and Crosby Ironton. They were also at state last year for both kick and jazz. And so we came out on top in first place for both kick and jazz there too, followed by Holdingford. And then Crosby for both of those as well. JV jazz and JV kick also got first there.
Mm.
Yeah.
So a sweep.
It was a sweep, yes. And then we traveled to Renville for the RCW McRae competition. And so that's where we saw YME for the first time. We had another clean sweep there, too, first in all four categories. YME was second in both. And then Worthington was third for jazz. And then Bold was third for kick.
Okay. Now, I know sometimes you've gotten a rank score of 3.
Yes.
Why don't you explain to our listeners how scoring's done there, and what does the rank score of 3 mean?
Yes. So that means that the judges tally up points. They rate your routine on various
categories.
Yep. A lot of stuff goes into the routine. So 1 through 10, they give you numbers and rank them that way. And then that rank puts you in a number order rank, which essentially tells you what the winners will be. And so when you have a rank of three, that means that the judges put you most likely in first.
They always place, every judge did.
Well, they drop the high and the low.
Oh,
so
right, yeah.
Once you drop your high and a low, then you add that up. And then,
So that's a perfect score then,
yeah.
Rank score three.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah.
You've done that a couple times this year.
Yes. Yep. It's been closer. But yeah, it's been.
How many judges are there? The same for every competition?
Yes. It's five, I believe,
five
for each competition.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Sorry to interrupt you about there. And that was Recori, you said?
Recori and RCW.
RCW,
yep.
Okay.
Yes. And then we traveled to Bold, and that's where we saw St. Cloud Cathedral for the first time. And so for Jazz, Varsity Jazz, they got first place with a rank point of four, and then Cathedral got a rank point of five for second place. And so, we just had 1 point difference. And so we scored a 367 and a 368. And so it's going to be real close with us in Cathedral to battle it out the rest of the season. And then for Kick, Cathedral got first with a rank point of five, and then we got second with a rank point of six. And so they scored a 366, and we scored a 363. So it was close there again. We did have, unfortunately, a fall for that one, and so that kind of, we didn't get any points taken off of that one, but it does affect kind of your overall view of the routine. And so I always tell the girls, we help prepare them for those moments, because things like that happen.
Yep.
And as long as they pop back up and don't let it affect the rest of the routine, that's all we ask for. And that's what this dancer did. So we were very proud of that.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you get to see the judges' score sheet then, what maybe you need to improve on?
Or? Yes. Yeah. It doesn't give much information. We just see like, they ranked us or gave us a seven in this category, or they gave us a six. They don't really give us feedback, like verbal feedback or written feedback.
What are some of the categories, just off the top of your head?
Yes. We have choreography. We've got difficulty, technique.
Technique. Okay.
Yeah. Technique of turns, leaps, technique of kicks.
So if you get a lower score for technique for turns, then maybe you got to work on that.
Exactly.
A little bit.
Yes. Yeah. The harder the choreography pieces and visual effectiveness pieces, those are a little harder to change during the season, just because you have to change choreography a lot. But if it's like the technique of things, that's pretty easy to work on at practice.
Right.
So,
good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt again. I keep interrupting you.
No, you've got great questions, so keep on asking. our JV Jazz, they got second behind Cathedral, and then JV Kick got first at the Bold competition. So then we had a nice break. We performed at the Lacaparral Dawson game in Dawson and had a cheesy chicken feed there, and so sold out of that. It was great support. The fans were full, or the stands were full. So
Good. Yeah,
it was a fun night there. Then we had a nice break practice for Christmas break, and then we had our 10th annual Invitational. So that was January 2nd. And so
where was that at?
That was at Dawson.
Dawson, okay.
Yeah, and the stands were beyond full for that. So that was really fun to see that community support.
Do you invite people that you want to see, or how does that work?
Yeah,
how do you determine what teams come?
Typically what we do is we extend the invitation to the teams that had come in the past. And if they want to still attend, they kind of get first dibs. We've had other teams reach out to see if they can join our invitational. You can only have 10 routines per category for each one. So it does have a cap for those nights.
Okay.
Otherwise we could be there till midnight and the judges come from a long ways away and stuff. So, yeah, it does get to be a little tricky in that sense, but
how'd you do?
We did very well. We had we got a clean sweep in all four categories again. So the teams that were at our home comp were Bold, YME, Canby, Mineota, Holly, Montevideo, McCrae RCW, New London Spicer, and Worthington. Mm-hmm. So
those are section teams too, aren't they?
Yes. Okay. Yep. Except for Holly. So
Yeah. They're Grace Johnson, though, ex.
Yes.
Shadows coaching up there, right?
Yes. Yep. So that was fun to have her team back. And that was the first time that her team has been at the school that she graduated with. And so she had fun showing them around and awesome. Stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Hope and Grace, their section is the different day of ours.
Yes.
Grace likes to help me on the broadcast.
So yes. Yeah.
See if that comes. Hopefully she can do that again this year.
I hope so, too.
All right.
Yeah, so then our JV team traveled to Montevideo last Friday. We just do a JV comp and then a varsity comp. And so they got first in both kick and jazz there as well, too. So it was fun just to have them have their own little competition that night. And then the varsity traveled to Cathedral. And so that's where we saw Holdingford and Cathedral again after the Christmas break. And so for varsity jazz, Cathedral got first with a rank point of 3. We got second with a rank point of 6, and then Holdingford got a rank point of 10. And so we were just 6 points away from Cathedral. Our girls gave a really strong performance, and so we were really happy with how they performed. Some things based off of our score sheet that we can work on is our technique of turns. And so that's something that I know Aaliyah is really working on with the girls and getting the mirrors out and stuff. And we are beating them in the choreography category. So
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle with you, St. Cloud Cathedral and you.
Yes, it is. And then for kick too. So they got first in kick with a rank of 5. And we got second in kick with a rank of 6, so it was close again. We did have another fall, unfortunately, and so we did get points deducted for that. So if you land on the ground before your hands hit, then you do get deduction from that. And so we did have 360 points, but then 355 after.
Okay.
After the points were taken, and Cathedral had 359, and so it's going to be close for that too. So, yeah, and Holdingford was in 3rd. So we'll just kind of see where it takes us. We're scoring high in our visual effectiveness, and so that really will be good if we advance to state to be right. able to see our routine on the state floor in that sense. So
good. Well, you're in Montevideo. You got to perform on the Montevideo floor. That's where section is.
Yes.
That helps. And you got to see possible some state other teams in St. Cloud.
Yes. So. Yep.
I watched online the St. Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
From morning to afternoon. That's a small gym, isn't it?
It's a very small gym.
How and they the get judges, all the people in there?
The judges are kind of eye level versus sitting up top because they have like a railing, and so then it would obstruct the view. So they put the judges down on the bottom, and it's kind of like staring them right in the eyes. So then you don't get to see a lot of
visual.
Yes, the visual stuff. So
awesome. All right.
Yeah, and then we travel to Wyoming this Saturday, and we kind of call this competition a mini state. And so a lot of the teams, most of the teams that we see at state come to this competition.
At Wyoming.
That would be a great one to come out to and, come out and support the Shadows and the surrounding areas.
What teams are there then?
So we'll have Cathedral.
Oh, Cathedral's there.
Yep, Holdingford, Holly, Wyoming. I'm not 100% sure if Crosby's going to be there
or
not. It
is a mini state tournament then.
Yes, but Montevideo and Bold, they're really close in kick this year. Oh. Worthington and Montevideo are close in jazz. So, yeah, it'll be a good competition.
I like the Worthington, the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
The orange mini skirt type thing.
Yes, their little
cool
checkered outfits. Yeah.
Yeah,
that is fun.
Yeah.
And then we have conference next Friday, and so we travel back to Wyoming for that. They're hosting conference already, and then sections will be February 7th, and then if we advance from sections, we'll head off to state February 13th for jazz, and then February 14th, Valentine's Day for kick.
Valentine's Day for kick.
Yes.
That'd be a good way to celebrate.
It would.
Wow. Well, I hope you make it to state.
Thank you.
It's one of my favorite things to cover.
Oh, good. We love having you there.
Yeah, I love being there. It's a lot of fun. But you got to get there.
We do.
Sections is in Montevideo, and I love covering sections, too.
Yes, we appreciate that.
When is that? So, sections in
February 7th.
7th in Montevideo, yep.
few weeks.
I got that in my calendar. So
good.
All right. Anything else, Carly?
That's all I've got.
Why don't you tell our listener a little bit about who helps you coach then?
Yes.
With the other coaches.
Yep. So Aaliyah is our head jazz coach. And
Aaliyah
so
Shomer?
Aaliyah Shomer. Okay. Yep. She's really pushing the girls and doing a great job with them. And so they're working really hard on that. Hope is our JV kick coach. And then Caitlin, so Hope Shalstead, and then Caitlin Fransky also helps with kick. And then she, Caitlin, also does our jazz, and then Hope assists her with that. So
it's all former shadows, including yourself.
It sure is, yes.
All in the coaching ranks now. That's pretty cool.
It is cool. Yeah. It's fun to keep it going. Yeah. So
okay. Well, appreciate you coming in, and good luck today.
Thank you.
At Granite Falls, right?
Yes, yep.
And we'll be posting the results on our social media sites immediately after.
So. Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Carly, for coming in.
Thanks, Paul.
Carly Wager of the La Capra Valley Dawson Boyd Shadows. We'll take a break and come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Picture this. Soft lights overhead, open skies, and a moment that feels straight out of a love story. At The Vine, our pavilion blends rustic romance and natural beauty for weddings that feel effortless and enchanting. With twinkling lights and open air, celebrations feel personal. Located in Southwest Minnesota, The Vine is where love gathers. Now booking 2026 weddings at thevinemn.com.
The Home to Home Thrift Store in Appleton, they are closed today.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show. As far as we know, everything is still on for today. You heard Carly Wager on the dance team. That they're over in Yellow Medicine East today, competing against a number of schools, including St. Cloud Cathedral. The wrestling varsity team is in Canby, and that started half an hour ago. And there were 14 teams there, the Camden Conference and West Central Conference individual tournament. And elementary wrestling in Montevideo, if you want to see the little kids. So good things going. Everything's going. The roads are pretty good. So I guess I'll close the Coach's Show with a couple of Dick Newman's sick jokes. The Vikings this past season had so many injuries and players on the disabled list that the team bus could park in the handicap space. And why is an airplane pilot like a football player? They both want to make safe touchdowns. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Great music for Dawson, Boyd, and Clarkfield on Q92 KLQP FM.